But I did also want to say a special welcome to you, Gerald. We love it when you come and speak to us and bring God's word to us, and you'll be doing that after the scripture reading. But I did want you to know that we don't take it for granted. We're very grateful. Thank you. And Robert is coming to read the scripture. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Morena. I'm Robert Brace, and one of the things I really enjoy about this church is that we get to read the Bible together, something which anchors our faith outside of our own experience. So let's enjoy the readings this morning. Our first reading is from the book of Revelation, called The Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu atawaro ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tāna kupu kia tātou. Our second reading is the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. Praise and glory to God. Te whaka moe miti te kiroria ki te atua. This is an extract from the record of Jesus' criminal trial. Jesus in front of Roman Governor Pilate, or is it Pilate in front of Jesus? Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei ātakaraiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe me te tia ia te kupu mana.
Thank you, Robert. Oh, got this. Thank you.
You want the lectern?
Yes, please. Thanks, Robert. Good morning, everybody. Tēnā koutou katoa. E te rā tāhua nei on this lovely day. It's good to be back. I'm sure you all heard I missed St. Michael's a couple of weeks ago. Did you all hear about that one? No, you didn't hear about that one. Well, I should probably let you know. Because I'm... You know, any reputation is a good reputation after a certain age, isn't it, Ian? You know what I'm talking about? So I was actually due to speak at St. Michael's a couple of weeks ago, which is all ready to go. No problem with that. And my wife Sue broke a collarbone on the Saturday, which we'll recover from, but you know, it was very painful and stuff for that night, and had been to the A&E and the hospital and all that. And I got up in the morning ready for church, got my son away, he had to borrow the other car, went outside, and our other car, the car I was going to drive in, had been broken into overnight. And they'd smashed the window and ripped open the steering column and all that sort of stuff. Probably some young people who no doubt I will meet in my other job at some point. And of course, what they didn't, they couldn't get it started, but they couldn't have driven it anyway because it's a manual. And no one under the age, no one under about the age of 40 can drive manuals anyway, right? And so that was going on. I was trying to sort that out. And then before I knew it, it was like 9:30, which is the time St. Michael's start. And I had no way of getting there. So I ran around the corner, about a kilometre away. The church was all in full force. Robert had already, another Robert had already said he'll step up, which is good. So I walked up the front all hot and sweaty and said, "Sorry, everybody, I'm not going to be with you today." And they were very gracious and very wonderful, which is very nice of them. And later that day, I went around to Robert, he's a retired priest there, with a gift, say thank you very much. Had a good chat with him. He said, the gift, I bought him a bottle of wine. He said, "I don't drink wine." So I got to give that to Sue, so I looked even better. And the other thing is, on that morning when this happened, I rang Wes, because I think, how can I tell him I'm going to be late? And so I thought, Wes will know who to ring. So I rang Wes, left a message on his phone on text, because he was at Synod. And later that day, I get a message back from Wes. I didn't put my name on my text, saying words to the effect of, "I hope you're all right, but I don't know who you are." So I had to ring up Wes and sort that one out. So anyway, that was a Sunday I want to forget about now, and I've confessed it to you all, and they've all forgiven me. You can forgive me. We can move on. So, and I made it today. So there you go. excuse me. This passage here in John 18, it is important to state something. The passage just before it is that the Jewish leaders had brought Jesus to Pilate. And because it was on the Passover, they didn't want to go into Pilate's home because that would defile them, and then they couldn't have the Passover, and they were good religious Jews wanting to obey all the orders and rules they thought you had to do to keep God happy. So Pilate had to come out to them, and they said, he said, "Why are you giving him to me?" And they said, "Because we're not allowed to execute people, but you are." So you've got to see the irony in all this, don't you? That the Jewish leaders were trying to keep themselves holy so they could please God by having the Passover. And in doing so, they were trying to execute God, who they didn't recognize in the form of Christ. And in keeping themselves holy, they were asking for someone to be executed because he annoyed them. I mean, really annoyed them. Do you get this? We've got to get the picture behind the picture to make all this to make sense. And so Pilate, just exasperated at these Jewish leaders, he goes out to them and says, "What's going on?" And they say, "We want you to execute this guy." That's where we come to. And it's interesting also in John, the difference between John's gospel and the previous three gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the synoptic gospels, is the first three talk a lot about the kingdom of God. John's doesn't so much, but he does talk about Jesus the king. So there's another little thing going on there. And here it starts with this. Pilate went back inside and said, as we heard from Robert read out this morning, "You're the king of the Jews." Immediately Jesus pushes back on him. Now one of the things we have to realise is never once in this whole process did Jesus do anything to get himself off the hook. Pretty remarkable, eh? So he pushes straight back at Pilate, basically, this powerful ruler, and says, "Is that your idea or did someone else put you up to it?" I'd have been saying, "I'll be whatever you want me to be. Just let me out of here." But Jesus immediately pushed away. We've got to see this. There was a real strength in spite of what even though he knew what was coming up. And then Jesus says this line: "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, the servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." Now this passage has caused a lot of division over the centuries in Christendom. Because a lot of people have interpreted that as he's talking about heaven, life ever after, saying, this worldly stuff doesn't matter. When we die, we're all going to heaven. It's all going to be over. Don't worry about it. I don't believe that's what he's saying. I think it's more and more these days that is not what he's saying. He's saying the king, because the kingdom of God, his own prayer, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The coming kingdom of God is bringing God's rule to earth, and he is the king to do it. And he says, my kingdom is not of this world. What he means is you don't even know what me as king looks like, because it's diametrically opposite of everything you understand. I mean, Pilate fully understood the role of kings, because he had Caesar, who was a fearful person to get offside from. There was a King Herod who he had to put up with, who was a subservient king to Caesar, but was still causing problems and was oppressing his own people. And they all knew that you wanted to get close to the king, because the closer you got to these kings, the more powerful you became, the more benefits you would have. But you also knew there'd be other people snapping at your heels to try and get to your place. You also knew if you annoyed the king, it could cost you even your life. Does it? I mean, it's like most power positions today. I mean, in our world, we don't usually cost us our lives, but even in job promotions and everything, so often we're wanting to hang out with the powerful people because they are the way that we can get ahead in our job or our life or whatever. In families, this is often the case. There's a power person. We want to get close to them or stay a long way from them, because we get that, don't we? You know what Jesus is saying? My kingdom is nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. If it was like that, that's why he says, if I was like an earthly king, what would I do? I'd get armies, I'd be fighting, we'd be battling for control, we'd be working out who had the better warriors or the better weapons. It's all about who can win in the power scene. And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. In fact, if we look at the signs of Jesus' kingdom, of course, coming up to Christmas, passage in Isaiah, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. The king came and no one recognized him as a king, because that's exactly how this king works. Let's read another passage. I won't read the whole lot. But what does it look like from this alternative kingdom that we are part of, and is Christ as king? The Bible, and particularly the Gospels, are full of it. Jesus was constantly talking about it and constantly upsetting people because he wasn't doing what he thought they should do. Here it is. Listen to this. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who hunger. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they execute you and insult you and reject you. Rejoice on that day, leap for joy. But woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed. Woe to you who laugh now. Woe to you when men speak well of you. But I tell you this, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do we ever hear a king or a powerful ruler say those types of things? Most powerful rulers would say, oh, you're rich? Come on in. The rich young ruler is a classic example of Jesus's as king. I mean, most of us, if a rich young ruler walked into our jobs or our club or our churches, we'd say, oh, wonderful. Man of influence. This says a lot in Christian world today. We think we get these men of influence. What we mean is powerful people, and we think they're going to hang out in powerful places and make us all powerful, and everyone will do what we want because we've got powerful people. And Jesus says, sell all you have, get rid of it all, give it all to the poor, and come follow me. I mean, we don't hear that, do we? It goes on in another passage in Matthew 25, and there's lots. I'm just choosing a couple because I think it's important we get what his kingdom is actually like rather than what it isn't like. Matthew 25, the story of the sheep and the goats. We know this passage, I'm sure of it. So I won't read the whole lot out again. But then he says to those on his right, these are the ones he says are his followers. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me. And they'll say, when did we do that? We don't remember ever doing that to you. And Jesus says, every time you fed someone who was naked, every time you clothed someone who was naked, fed someone who was hungry, gave water to someone who was thirsty, helped the poor, visited the prisoner, every single time you did that, You were doing it to me. You were doing what your king wants you to do because that is where your king actually dwells. It's the upside down of everything that Pilate and the Jews were thinking. And this passage in John, and when I was preparing this, I went down a rabbit hole of 2.5 hours of Bible readings that show something different. You know, you can go on and on because it's all the way through the scripture. How God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the things that are used to pull down the things that are not. This is just rampant right through scripture. Nearly everybody God uses through scripture, the most unlikely. King David, everyone held up. We know his story, don't we? When Samuel went, none of the brothers were good enough. They said, "Zero and us. Oh, there's a young guy there. We don't know. No one worries. Bring him in." I mean, this whole concept of the kingdom of God and Jesus the king, if we don't get that it's almost diametrically opposite of nearly all we see today in the terms of power, we are not really going to understand Jesus the king. And this is for me as well, because one of the big mistakes we make is we think if we can just get Christian politicians, we'll be right. Because they'll make everyone be good. So far, we haven't got a good history of that in our country, by the way. And I'm not against Christians in politics. I'm 100% in favour of it. But let's not think that we get people in those positions of influence, the world's going to be better. Jesus didn't do it. He didn't give us any examples of that. The only example he gave is in his one, where he said, go to the powerful people and let them kill you. Tell them off. Call them names. And it's not that we don't get involved in those things, but what we've got to realise is they are not the things that will ultimately bring about the kingdom of God. The things that bring about the kingdom of God are feeding the poor, clothing the naked, giving water to the thirsty, visiting the prisoners. It says in James 1:27, for this is pure and undefiled religion, to care for widows and orphans in their distress and keep yourself undefiled by the world. If we're really going to sing how great is our God, and I think it's great, the proof that I believe my God is great is I visit the prisoners, I feed the hungry, I clothe the naked, and I do that all the time. And one day when Jesus says, you did it to me, I'll say, I didn't even recognize you. That's how it's meant to be. That's the kingdom of God. So what? Well, to honour our serve our King, Jesus, we have to make very careful that we're not slowly becoming like the Pharisees, who wouldn't break their religious rules by walking into Pilate's home, and in doing so, handed over Jesus to be executed. We know right through the scriptures, a powerful passage of Isaiah, that when we stick to our religious rules, and we are not serving the poor, caring for people, and loving the lost, God despises our religious practices. We have to do that. Secondly, we have to make sure that when we worship our King, King Jesus, we realise he's not in the positions, well, he is everywhere in one sense, but positions of power. He's primarily amongst all those people we really don't want to hang out with too much. And what will this do for us? Well, I've been reading bits and pieces lately, and one of the famous quotes, I never actually quote it right, from C.K. Chesterton was that the problem with Christianity is not that it has been tried and found wanting, but that it has been found too difficult and never tried. I think we've got to keep trying. We won't get it right, but we know we're trying when we're feeding, when we're clothing, when we're visiting, and we are caring for the poor. That's all I have to say. May God bless you all this morning.